What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett. It's up.
Hello, good friends, and welcome inside the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top for Riverland for all your roofing needs. It's Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297. You can visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. This is Talk of Champions, and I'm Ben Garrett. That's Spirit Ben on Twitter. I write and talk about your Ole Miss Rebels all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, definitive on three, and this week only. You can get a subscription if you haven't already. If you haven't joined us, first of all, where you been? But second of all, if you wanted to finally take that plunge, this is the perfect week to do it. You can get a sub, a new sub, to the Ole Miss Spirit for as low as $1 this week. So come join us. Talk about Ole Miss and Arkansas this weekend at 11 a.m. Central Time in Fayetteville, a historically house of horrors for Ole Miss football. 2-13 all the time, which is interesting, made more interesting, I guess, when you consider that this will be the 71st time these teams have played. That is the fourth longest played rivalry in Ole Miss history, but yet only 15 in Fayetteville, and Ole Miss is 2-13 in those games. So hopefully they're able to buck some trends this weekend, keep this ball moving, rolling down the field as Ole Miss makes its final last push for the college football playoff. Fortunately, the field is exactly where Ole Miss kind of needs it to be right now. A bunch of 6-2 teams, or the teams that do have only one loss, like a Texas A&M, look gettable. Marcel Reed, old friend Marcel Reed, looks pretty dang good for Texas A&M, a former Ole Miss commitment. But assuming that Ole Miss can win out, beat Arkansas this weekend, Georgia next, they should make the playoff, I would assume. 24% chance as of today, which is October 30th, 2024. That only gets better with more wins. And let's be honest, it shouldn't be here. It shouldn't be at this point. Losing to Kentucky was, and still, and will forever be, one of the worst losses in modern history. Let's just get that out of the way. Let's just accept it for what it is, guys. Losing to Kentucky was awful. And it gets worse and worse with each passing week as Kentucky just can't win a game. So, knowing what we know about Ole Miss going into this weekend, it's going to be a tricky game. Taylen Green's a dual-threat quarterback for Arkansas. Can really challenge Ole Miss both vertically with his passing game and also with his legs. Got a great running game. A defense is playing pretty well. Lane Kiffin was on the SEC teleconference right before I jumped on here to do Talk of Champions. I listened in. Nothing really to learn from that as far as injury updates or anything crazy. He was asked a bunch of big-picture questions, like the rushing the field issue with fines going to the visiting team now because LSU will have to pay Ole Miss $250,000 for rushing the field following its overtime win over Ole Miss 29-26 a couple weeks ago. And it was really interesting because Lane's response was, first of all, I didn't know that. I didn't know that we were getting paid for that. Of course he wouldn't know that. I mean, he's deep off in the day-to-day, week-to-week minutiae of a season. Those big picture things like Washington State, having to add Washington State, which he was asked about as well, in place of Wake Forest, who unceremoniously dropped out after getting whipped in September. So now Lane's getting asked some questions about an LSU storming the field when they were the underdog. Now, typically, we as Ole Miss people know, Ole Miss LSU, that's the rivalry of rivalries for Ole Miss outside of state. And it's always been, has that rivalry heated, pretty competitive, but LSU is favored in it usually. But Ole Miss hadn't won there since 2008. And his response to finding out that LSU is going to pay Ole Miss $250,000 for rushing the field for beating Ole Miss was that at least our program's changed from where it used to be. That's what he said he thought on the field. As the fans are storming, well, LSU's storming the field against Ole Miss. At least we've changed the program in that way. I was all positive vibes this week. Ole Miss beat Oklahoma last week. What is there to be complaining about? I mean, at this point, we know what it is. Went out. Fulfill the prophecy that you yourself laid out, Lane. I don't understand who this Lane Kiffin is right now. It is bizarre. On Monday, he made a sarcastic remark about how, well, if we don't win a national championship, some of our fans won't be satisfied. First of all, I think he was joking. I think Lane was just trying to make light of it. But if he wasn't, before we deep dive into some other things here on Talk of Champions, Lane, you're the one that set these expectations. You don't lower them now because your team pooped the bed a couple of times. You hold yourself to that expectation, to that goal that you set months and months and months ago. I don't know who he is right now. This is not the Lane Kiffin we're used to seeing. The Lane Kiffin that before Alabama takes his headset off, says, get your popcorn ready, and tosses it. They lose. And he comes in and says, we're here to be great, not good. What do you call 6-2 and 2-2? Good. Not great. Of course Ole Miss fans are disappointed right now. That Kentucky loss is bad. It's going to go down as one of the worst ever. I contend, here's a hot take for you on Talk of Champions to get us started. That Kentucky loss is worse than 4th-and-25 ever was. Now, we can have a conversation about that if you want, you know, drop some knowledge on me. Email me, ben.garrett@on3.com. Get on this show. Drop me a voice recording. Or join the Ole Miss Spirit. This week only $1, as low as $1 to get a new sub to the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com. Tell me about on the message board. We talk about this stuff all day, every day. Hit me up on Twitter, @SpiritBen in my mentions. That Kentucky loss is worse than 4th-and-25 ever was. And it gets worse and worse as the weeks go on. Losing to LSU, you're right. Them storming the field, it is different. You did change that. Thank goodness you did. Ole Miss fans have changed the way they look at losing to LSU. It used to be one of the titans, the Goliaths, for the Ole Miss David to conquer. Not anymore. You're favored, heavily favored. You went in, or maybe not heavily favored, but you went in, and when you played the game out, as producer Flip again made note, doing the math on the spreadsheet, should have been a 45-16 win, but your offense let you down. This is positive vibes only week. Arkansas is coming up. There's no time to be thinking about this, and yet Lane keeps bringing up or keeps lowering expectations that he himself created. It's bizarre. It's bizarre. And it leads me to what we're talking about today on Talk of Champions. Yes, Ole Miss has changed its entire outlook on what it's supposed to be. We've talked about this before. But Lane, you're the one that said, we don't want to be good, we want to be great. We expect our fans to think that way as well. They are. And they're showing up. They showed up again for Oklahoma in a game that was an 11 a.m. kickoff, 70,000 people in the stands. You know, the Grove is packed out. You got Oklahoma fans talking about how amazing the Grove is. They've never seen anything like it. And yes, Oklahoma is a name opponent, but they were doing this. Ole Miss fans were doing this for Middle Tennessee State, for Furman, those four cakewalk non-cons that didn't prepare you for the SEC. This is what you came here for. That's what you told Ole Miss fans you came here for, to be one of those big blue blood programs that the LSU stormed the field of. You turned Ole Miss into the destination job that many thought you were pursuing and using Ole Miss as a stepping stone to. Auburn, Florida this time around. Every single year, There's always been some murmuring or murmurings of you potentially jumping to a, quote, bigger program. And yet you've created Ole Miss and fashioned Ole Miss in a way where it is no longer a lesser than program. The number six NIL collective in the country with a fan base that is not even remotely close to Florida's or Texas A&M's in terms of size, but commitment and going all in as you asked them to do. They've done that. So why are you lowering the expectations now? Why are you talking about in your Monday press conference the dissatisfaction in your fan base that you told them after you hung in there against some teams early on in your career but lost closely? No, no moral victories. Okay, then no moral victories. Why the hell did you lose to Kentucky, who hasn't won an SEC game since?
Did anything new or different jump out to you from evaluating the tape that you maybe didn't catch quite away from the OU game?
I thought Jackson played really well. It was really accurate with the ball, especially without his, probably the best receiver in the country not playing. So I thought he played really well, and I thought we pass protected well against a defense that has a great rusher. And I thought we settled down on defense with a new play caller early, and they kind of ran a lot of tricky type of stuff and kind of took a lot of different shots that way. And then we settled down and played great defense in the second half. And I think after rewatching it too, like, that's a good win, and I told our guys today, don't let people outside of this room steal your joy about winning in the SEC, especially by two scores and dominating a second half. So it's kind of the world we live in around here now. And, people have these expectations that, you got to win by so many points. And I think that's probably happens at a lot of places with playoffs and all the fan excitement about that. And not just do you win, but how much do you win by? So I want our guys to, make sure that, they understand, when you win in this conference and you win by two scores and play a dominant half like that, there's things to work on. But also, enjoy it too, or you just kind of end up winning and being miserable.
It's bizarre. It's a strange place that we find Lane Kiffin in. Not recognizable from the dude we saw for 4 years here, for the first 4 years. The confidence, the bordering on arrogant confidence that everyone in Oxford embraced. And now you go on the SEC teleconference and say, well, at least we changed the culture where LSU is storming the field against Ole Miss. If you are at Florida, if you are at LSU as the head coach, Auburn, and any of those other teams, opposing fans, storm the field after a win, you wouldn't bat an eye. Of course they did. But now you're telling Ole Miss to act like little Ole Miss? Oh, it's okay, guys. Listen, if we make the Cap One Bowl after talking about the last dance, after talking about, I was in the room. When Jared Ivey didn't bat an eye, or you didn't bat an eye, when Jared Ivey said, this season's about a natty. A natty. These are conversations that never had happened before at Ole Miss, outside of the fantastical. Of course, we as Ole Miss fans want to talk about Ole Miss in that way. Can Ole Miss do this to get to the highest level and be a contemporary with the Georgias and the Alabamas and the LSUs? Now, it's debatable that Ole Miss is in that company. They're not, according to the AP. They dropped a spot after Oklahoma to number 19. However, you told Ole Miss fans to believe in that way, to treat the program in that way, to commit to NIL. When you flirted with Auburn, they got scared and they poured millions and millions into your NIL. Who is this Lane Kiffin right now? It's so strange to me. This is not the captain of the Lane train or, the one, the rallying the cause of, hey guys, forget all the old ways of doing things. The Lane train is here and it's full steam ahead. This is strange. Now you're talking about, you're acting like a We Are Ole Miss head coach. Houston Nutt did the same thing to my guy Neil McCready. Not the same. Far worse extent. He was 2-10 and Ole Miss lost. I can't remember the game. But they lost terribly in that terrible season. And he jumps on Neil. Wasn't no 29, whatever. Wasn't no 59, 10. Wasn't Neil. We're used to this as Ole Miss people. We've seen this. Media, fans, we know what it's like when coaches come in, talk a big game, and the minute they're held to account for their own actions and words, go, well, wait a second, y'all are just Ole Miss. To hell with that. What are we doing here? No. Yes, LSU should storm the field against Ole Miss in 2024 because Ole Miss was top 10 ranked and considered a national championship contender. You did that. You deserve all the credit for it. You did that. But now, because you suffered some disappointments, now you want to play that, well, Ole Miss used to be that. No. No, this is year five. In year one, year two, okay. COVID year, when you're just trying to recover from the Matt Luke years, fine. This is not that. You made it this. You're the one that said, y'all know how good we are. Y'all see it. And yet, when we say, yeah, you did say, we did think, and you said, confirmed it, Ole Miss is good. Ole Miss should be among the elite. Ole Miss should be disappointed by losing to a Kentucky, even an LSU at home. We agree. No, wait. You're Ole Miss. No, that's not how this works, Lane. I'm asking for a return to the Lane train experience. Owning your stuff. Owning your stuff. That's what matters here. You've demanded it from Ole Miss fans. You've demanded it from your players. Now, there is some point of contention in regards to have the players gone, bought all in. Micah Pettis. Micah Pettis was a late scratch for Oklahoma. And Lane made a not-so-subtle shot at him when he talked about the issues and penalties on the right side. That is Micah Pettis. Now, we've all been saying this. Not just me, the stupid Ginger Shrek on your television screen, YouTube screen. Fans that have eyeballs and understand football at the most basic level could see that. And yet, when you're called on these things, where's so-and-so? Why is this not happening? Aiden Williams, he was balling out. You need some wide receiver help. He's nowhere to be found. Where are the tight ends? Well, you finally rediscover the middle of the field when you can't force feed Trey Harris. Charlie Weiss was your hire. Your guy. You didn't have to hire him. He has always been your dude, your friend. You had other options. And let's be honest, that search wasn't particularly deep. Didn't go far down the rabbit hole looking for the best guy. You went and hired your guy. No one knocks that when the results are what they're supposed to be, as you said they were going to be, what they needed to be, and what the expectation should be. Not good, great. 6-2, 2-2 is good, not great. There are issues. You lost to Kentucky. You lost to LSU. And this Arkansas game is going to be really, really tough. Arkansas absolutely put it on Mississippi State. Now, Mississippi State is an absolute mess. But I look around. Joe John Finley's a former assistant of Lane Kiffin's. He got to call the plays for the first time against Ole Miss on Saturday. It looked like an Ole Miss offense. Disjointed, big plays at times. State, it's Dollar General Lane Kiffin with Jeff Lebby. You see sprinkles, if you will. You know, little flashes of what Lane Kiffin's offense was, or what Jeff Lebby's offense was here under Lane Kiffin. But it's all a variation of the same thing. And in 2024, defenses have kind of figured it out. And what adjustments have been made then? If it's not personnel, maybe it is for you, Lane. Maybe it is a personnel issue. You took Michael Pettis down. You put in a new right tackle. He might be banged up. Whatever it might be, Michael Pettis has had his issues both on and off the field every year he's been here. And that's not a personal attack on him. It's just what it is. I like Micah Pettis. I met him personally for the first time. I really got to shake his hand. Hey, man, I'm Ben Garrett. You're Micah Pettis at Ole Miss Media Day in August. And I thought he was a delight. I said, man, we got to get you on the Ivy League with Jared Ivy. And he was like, yeah, Jay, I was never mentioned anything to him. I said, because I hear you a psychopath, man. He went, you're dang right. Own it. Heck yeah. But sometimes that unbridled enthusiasm, that unbridled or uninhibited craziness can lead to some bad things, like penalties or stupid penalties, dumb penalties. And holds are a problem for all offensive linemen usually because they're coached these days to hold as much as you possibly can because they're not going to call it every single time. Micah Pettis has apparently taken that to complete and utter heart. It's more than that. It is more than just in-game procedural stuff. It also includes bad decision-making, getting angry, reacting emotionally. And he's not the only one either. There are others. But why are we talking about lowered expectations? You remember that Mad TV bit? Lowered expectations. Why are we talking about this after a win going into Arkansas and you're the one doing the talking? This is weird. It is not what we're used to. This is not what the Lane train experience has been and should be in year five.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
Introducing the new and improved BNA Bank mobile app. From setting transaction alerts and tracking your spending habits to managing travel plans and turning off a lost or stolen debit card, you can take care of all of it in the new BNA mobile app. At BNA Bank, we know that life moves pretty fast, and we have the mobile technology to keep up with your life on the go. BNA Bank. Local. Invested. Modern banking.
This is Callie. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
Ole Miss fans, Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. And if you sign up today with promo code Talk of Champions, you can get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Trust me, I've played and pitched for them all, but Prize Picks stands above the rest. Honestly, I have no idea why I waited this long. Yes, I cover the Rebels, so I focused my picks on the MLB playoffs, including home run cash-ins on Mookie Betts and others. It's a blast, easy, and secure. Make your picks in less than 60 minutes with Prize Picks, and when they hit, you can get your money as quickly as 15 minutes. Even better, Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy. Think Justin Jefferson will get more than 83.5 yards this week? Yeah, me too. Win real money this football season with Prize Picks. Download the app today and use promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's Prize Picks and promo code TALKOFCHAMPIONS. Prize Picks. Run your game. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. Can you feel it? The holiday season is here. It's in the air. Uncommon Goods is your one-stop shop for incredible, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your shopping list. Never panic about finding the perfect gift again, because Uncommon Goods scours the globe for the remarkable. My daughters, for example, love mix-and-match games. Find My Behind, a hilarious twist on a classic game in under $20, has already brought joy to our home. I want the same for you. The Garretts have caught the pickleball itch. The indoor-outdoor light-up set from Uncommon Goods has been perfect for fun, spirited game nights at home. But it's not just for kids, and even better, you're supporting local artists and small independent businesses when you support Uncommon Goods. They even give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice with every purchase. Shopping legitimately doesn't get any better than this. So to get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TOC for Talk of Champions. That's uncommongoods.com/TOC for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer with Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. Let's talk about something that was founded by guys who know a little something about hard work. 5-9 Whiskey. The crew over at Troll Company decided to whip up a bourbon that's all about grit and sweat. So, Ole Miss fan, meet 5-9. Two oil-filled guys figured why not turn our daily grind into something you can sip on? I mean, who wouldn't want a splash of hard work in their whiskey, right? This stuff is made with 100% Kentucky corn, bringing you those crisp, fresh flavors with a smooth finish. They even took the trip to Owensboro, home of the 10th oldest distillery in Kentucky. They went all in. And what about that name? 5-9 is a nod to those who clock in from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m., but they're wanting you to forget about that 9-to-5 life. These are the real champions who put in the sweat and toll. They work hard, and now they're pouring the same energy into their whiskey. So why not grab a bottle? Seriously, help these guys out. They're literally drinking their profits. So cheers. Head to 59whiskey.com. That's 59whiskey.com. F-I-V-E-N-I-N-E-whiskey.com. And use the promo code CHAMPIONS20. That's CHAMPIONS20 for 20% off your first order. Tools down, bottoms up. It's 59 Whiskey, a proud sponsor of Talk of Champions. I wanted to talk about today specifically the running game. I've been hard on Henry Parrish, and for good reason. Mainly because Ulysses Bentley is sitting there on the bench rotting because apparently Lane took issue with something specifically with him and buried him in the doghouse. And Henry Parrish has been up and down. Against the non-cons, looked like a stud. In SEC play, and it's not all his fault. The interior of the offensive line is a problem. And yet Lane won't make changes. Why is it then a crazy thing to go, hey, you averaged 2.9 yards per carry against Oklahoma. Good front. SEC defense. But it's a continuation of the crappy run game that you've had all year. Should you have paid Quinshon Judkins what he wanted? I don't think so. That's what somebody said this week on Twitter. It made me laugh. Because we talked about Quinshon a lot to begin this this podcast to start the year, going into the year, going into the season. And I mentioned it, how I trusted Henry Parrish and trusted Ulysses Bentley. Did I think that there was ever a chance that a Lane Kiffin offense couldn't run the ball? No, because that's just not the history. Go back to FAU. Go back to Alabama. He is a run-heavy variation of the spread. And he went into the portal and tried to get a number of guys to make up for it, and yet the results were almost in November here. I mean, Halloween is 2 days away, right? 2 days. About to flip the calendar to November, and the running game is still stuck in neutral. It's not giving you the balance that has always been required for your offense. But I wanted to give Henry Parrish some credit today because I have been hard on him specifically, and it's not really his fault completely. One area is his fault, but it's been mostly for the inefficiencies in the running game. It's the offensive line. It's schematically. It's not utilizing your playmakers, your best players. And again, this is basic football. You don't have to be wearing the visor and in the Manning Center to say this. Ulysses Bentley, for a reason, was the highest graded returning running back in the SEC. When given an actual run at things against LSU, he did what he always does. Averaged 5 yards per carry. Henry Parrish then against Oklahoma gets all the carries, 15 of them, 5 of them for Ulysses Bentley, only 5 yards. You could say, well, see, I would argue that Ulysses didn't get enough of an opportunity. That you're running middle zone when it isn't there, inside zone when it isn't there because you have an adequate talent level, or you're not playing, trying something else, playing guys that could potentially help you get better in the interior. Caleb Warren's sitting over there dressed out, started for you for 3 years, and you never averaged 2.9 yards per carry against an Oklahoma. Jeremy James, he's just sitting over there. Now, I know he's got the hand thing, but he dressed out for Oklahoma. The hand injury was supposed to keep him out a month. It's been about a month. Man, that guy used to be considered, you'd talk about it late, an NFL caliber player. It's not supposed to be like this after a win. Why are you talking about lowered expectations? Because I think you're going to go to Arkansas in a tough place to play for Ole Miss historically and win. I believe that because Ole Miss has a defense that is playing at such a level that if the offense just gets back to basic competency, what we're used to seeing from a Lane Kiffin offense, they are better than this Arkansas team. And I, long ago, because of you, Lane, said, I'm done with the We Are Ole Miss stuff. It's done. You told Ole Miss fans and Ole Miss media and anybody that would ask you, this is not what it used to be. Ole Miss is not little old We Are Ole Miss anymore. And this week, after a win, you're talking about this stuff. It's weird. It's bizarre. It doesn't track with how you've built this Ole Miss program. And all I'm asking from Lane is not to just, you know, turn around about face and be like, you know, let's go get them for the Gipper. All I'm asking is that you own your stuff. Say, for example, going into the bye week, the offense had been struggling. What was the biggest beef that you had, Ole Miss fan? What did you complain most about? Charlie Weiss. Lane, you don't have to throw your man under the bus. You don't even have to make a change if you don't want to. Outside of, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who your coordinators are, who your players are. You are judged by your results. You, the head coach, it ultimately falls to you. The bill always comes due for the head coach. Right? If Ole Miss in 2024, even at 6-2, 2-2, which is good but not great, and the reason it's not great is because you, the offensive-minded or the offensive guru, the offensive-minded head coach guru, your offense is struggling, why would you not say, hey, look, I recognize this is my program. It ultimately falls on me. I'm going to take over play calling duties for the foreseeable future. You're not throwing Charlie Weiss under the bus. You just say, hey, the buck stops here. It's my offense ultimately. That's what I was brought here to do. I accept that. I'm going to fix it. Unless you're wanting to defer accountability or deflect accountability, which is exactly what you're doing when you say things like, well, according to some of our fans, if we don't win a championship, that's not good enough. Yeah, of course it's not. Or making the playoff. Not, some of us didn't say, hey, go win a natty like Jared Ivey did, my guy. Some of us just said, make the playoff. And I think if you look at the playoff field as it's currently constructed, that is not a ridiculous thing to say. Go beat Arkansas, an historically miserable place for Ole Miss to play. I saw Deuce and them beat him way back. I remember. But I also remember after Laquan got hurt, Ole Miss and Bo Wallace and the program just in the absolute emotional ditch, go out and get boat raced. Or a couple of years ago, with a better team, you went in with Zach Evans, who's a monster, Quinshon Judkins, who's a monster, both of them 1,000-yard rushers for you. Well, I think Zach might have been a little bit under. Still, monster running game. What you do not have this year, and you got your ass kicked. Fayetteville's hard for Ole Miss, but you told Ole Miss fans don't think that way, so they're not. So don't ask why or question why now. You're the one that took the headphones off and threw them and said, get your popcorn ready and got your butt kicked. You told Ole Miss fans to believe in a different way, and they have. So the only way to get this back where you said it was supposed to be, where you said the goal was going to be, go beat Arkansas and Fayetteville. It doesn't make up for all the bad things. It doesn't make up for the worst loss, in my opinion, in modern history against Kentucky. And yeah, they got a great defense. They got a, well, not a great defense. Let's slow down. They've got some great NFL caliber players on that side of the line, because you see the other games they've played, they've gotten their butts kicked. It's a bad loss because, Lane, y'all shit the bed. Own it. Own that. I've already said too many four-letter words today, and I was trying to be better because your words can be daggers. I'm trying to be better, but it's frustrating for me to watch a program that fashioned itself around your confidence, around your aura, and then you just wilt when things start to go a little wrong. Well, why are y'all criticizing me? Didn't you say... Pro mindset, hold us to account. That's what Ole Miss is doing. And we shouldn't be talking about this after you beat Oklahoma. Arkansas is a capable enough team. They can beat you. And if they do beat you this weekend, with Taylen Green at quarterback, who is going to give your defense, the top-ranked scoring defense in the country, some problems, it's over for the playoff. And then what is the conversation? Then what is the conversation for you? How do you explain it away now? Well, we're still bowl eligible. Bowl eligibility doesn't mean jack in 2024. Ole Miss is well past embracing the Independence Bowl, being the last team to beat Oklahoma before Oklahoma, the true blue blood, the next year went and won a national championship. Yeah, Ole Miss, that's a cute story. Good for y'all. We'll see y'all when we fall back down. That's not what this is. You got to go beat Arkansas this weekend. Otherwise, do you think it's going to get better for you? And then what does it mean? This is not the stuff we're supposed to be talking about. We're supposed to be talking about Henry Parrish improving as a pass pro, pass protector. Against LSU, man, Whit Weeks walked him, dog walked him into the lap of Jackson Dart in overtime. And I thought, what are they doing? Put Caden Priestcorn back there, anybody that can hold up, not a 160-pound, 5'9 running back. He's graded out as the worst passer protector for Ole Miss all year. He's under 50% with his grading. It's 50 grade, under 50 grade, like 46.2 last I looked. But for the last 2 weeks, he's gotten incrementally better. Now, he's not a ton better, but he deserves a lot of credit because I think he cares. I think Henry Parrish really gives a crap. And he mentioned on Tuesday how it's a passion for him to protect the quarterback and not tote the rock, get those 100, 200-yard games, multiple touchdowns. The passion he brought up was pass pro. And he acknowledged it. He said, yeah, I haven't been great. I don't know if he said it explicitly, but he said, essentially, I haven't been great. I've been working on that specifically in my game. And he's gotten better. And that we want to talk about. We want to give those guys plaudits. A guy like Henry Parrish who knows his weakness, accepts it, and works to get better. Not excuse-making. So I want to talk about these guys. Chris Poupaul, who you made a great comment about, Lane, on the SEC teleconference. He's been everything and more you could want at linebacker for Ole Miss. I mean, the production, yes, but the passion, the leadership that he's exhibited. I mean, this guy cares. And you yourself said it on the SEC teleconference. That's not all that normal anymore in college football. I love that quote from Lane Kiffin because it's true. It's not like Chris Poupaul is going to suddenly become more motivated this week because he's playing his former team in Arkansas. He's been that emotional all year. If anything, they're going to have to rein him in a little bit to make sure he continues to play and prepare as he has all year to treat this as just another game because he is an emotional kid. He does care. And that's what Ole Miss fans would like to see more of writ large, including you, Lane, going, look, it wasn't pretty against Oklahoma, but we did some good things. Defense is holding up. I'm not saying promise to win out. I'm not saying go out and Al Davis and say, just win, baby. I'm saying to lay off the whole emo kind of, well, if we don't win or get to the playoff, stop. Who is this person? Who is this imposter? Because this doesn't make any sense. The Lane train was supposed to be unbridled arrogance. Be the bad guy. If they want to cast you as the bad guy, screw it. Be the bad guy. If they want to rank you lower because they think, oh, Mr. they're fake. Heck yes. Oh, you think we're fake? Let's go prove why we're not. Instead, you gave them all the ammunition you needed, and then you got back on track, and you're still talking about this. Henry Parrish had a 53 grade in pass pro against LSU. Not bad. Around 56 for Oklahoma. He's getting better. He's still not an efficient runner. I got questions about why you won't try new things in the interior. We've asked you these questions and no answers. I don't expect Jaden Williams back this week at left tackle, your highest graded offensive lineman this year. I don't think Trey Harris is playing this weekend either. I have real concerns about Trey Harris's long-term viability. Now, he'll come out and play probably on Saturday, make me look stupid, which if he does, awesome. Make this stupid Ginger Shrek look like the idiot that he is. But I've only heard bad things about Trey, and I don't expect him necessarily, if you ask me today, gun to my head, hey, is he going to play Saturday? I don't see it. I hope he does. But also, I saw against Oklahoma, an offense that looked more like itself, not because Trey Harris isn't the best wide receiver in the SEC, if not the country. He leads the country in receiving yards. It's because you couldn't rely just on Trey Harris. You had to rediscover the middle of the field. You had to rediscover your tight ends. You had to find Jordan Watkins again to move Juice Wells a little bit more. Do things that old Lane Kiffin teams for 4 years didn't really need to be told. It's a bizarre place for Ole Miss to be. It's this weird, like, shaky energy. And I don't get it. You're 6-2, 2-2. That is good, not great. So, what are you going to do to make it great? Y'all talked about the playoff. Y'all talked about the natty. Lowering expectations on October 30th? Nah. No, come on now. Come on. Jackson Dart just came off of one of his better games of the year, and he still had his issues, but like, he protected the ball, distributed it to more than just one player. Chris Poop-Hall has been, he's answered the big linebacker issue that Ole Miss has had seemingly forever in the modern era. Can so-and-so play linebacker? Chris Poop-Hall can. He's returning to his old stomping grounds after an 11-tackle game against Oklahoma. Each and every week, he is in the top three of best defensive performers for Ole Miss. Lane, own it, man. Come back. Get rid of this imposter and bring back the Lane train. Because that's the only way you win out. Not by lowering expectations, by saying, yeah, man, we built this thing to win. Let's go do the thing. Let's all operate at peak. Let's all, I'll take over the play calling duties because I'm the offensive-minded guy if it's not working out. I don't understand who this person is, but I believe that Ole Miss is going to beat Arkansas on Saturday. And if Ole Miss beats Arkansas on Saturday, that's all that matters. Survive in advance at this point. Just get the wins. Stack the wins. It doesn't have to be pretty. What does Ole Miss need to do? It's going to be rainy. And that favors Arkansas because of their running game, one of the best in the SEC. Ole Miss has one of the worst, especially in terms of efficiency. That would not be great for Ole Miss if it is pouring down rain. Or maybe it forces Lane Kiffin to get back in his mad scientist offense bag. I don't know if I wouldn't kind of like to see that. I don't think Lane has truly recognized that the true answer to all of this is, hey, Lane, why don't you just script it all? Why don't you just call the plays? Because then at least we'll know where the accountability falls. Well, you were hired to bring the offensive fireworks and juice, my friend. Not to do whatever you've been doing the last 3 days. Come on. It's game week for Arkansas. This has been another edition of Talk of Champions. I promise you, good vibes only. Unless they lose to Arkansas, then it's going to be miserable. But good vibes only. Your Ole Miss Rebels are right there. The field is perfectly fine, suited for them to be able, if they win out, make the playoff. But they got to do the business, and the vibes just aren't where I thought they would be after a win over Oklahoma, publicly at least. Come on now. Let's own this and go get it done. Otherwise, what are we doing here? Every year, you flirted with another school. You're doing it with Florida this year. You've quit doing the Florida memes, which, thank you for that. You finally read the room. But now, it's like you're trying to publicly defend your resume or your work so far this year, when I think even the most objective or homerish of observer would say, you've underperformed. Well, wait, it's Ole Miss. No, you don't get to do that now. Come on. This has been another edition of Talk of Champions. Positive vibes only. From this point forward, post-game show after Arkansas, I will be here with friggin' bells on, but no pumpkins. It'll be November at that point, so we got to do like leaves or something, like a turkey. I don't know. And then it's Christmas time, and if Ole Miss, come Christmas, is going to the Music City Bowl, no, positive vibes only. This has been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit, been on Twitter. Check out my stuff at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3. Here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, the little house up top for all your roofing needs. It's Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. No more of this. No more of this, okay? I don't know if Lane's just on tilt. He still can't get over the LSU loss, which I can't blame him. Yeah, some fluky, crazy stuff happened, Lane, but come on now. Come on now. Go beat Arkansas, and you're right where you need to be, considering the two losses that you've had. You're where you need to be. Yes, two losses shouldn't be there to this point, but they are. And you told Ole Miss to expect, or your players did, and you didn't deny it. You said, Natty or bust, the last dance, pick your poison here. But if it doesn't work out that way, it's not invalid for your fans to go, golly, that wasn't what we thought it was going to be. That is not unreasonable. So stop all this imposter syndrome you got going. Roll up your sleeves, tighten down the visor, and go beat Arkansas. We'll see you after the game.
Prescriptions, copays, lab tests. Even with insurance, healthcare can cost thousands every year. But not for me, because I'm enrolled in VA healthcare. My service was then, my benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.